The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this Friday on The Bigger Picture. And it looks like risk on Friday. So we are seeing a bit of a huge rotation into stocks, out of bonds and safe haven assets. So S&P 500 overnight pushing to new records. Gold losing some of its shine, down 1.5% this morning. And we are also seeing the yen, Japanese yen, losing some ground against the greenback, weakening about 0.3% so far this morning, now at 109.28. So how does this set up the bigger picture? We have Suresh Tantia, Senior Investment Strategist from Credit Suisse. Morning, Suresh. How's your Friday morning going?
Good morning, Ryan. Good to be with you.
Hey, Suresh, let's get your help first to set the context for what you are seeing in terms of market sentiment. Going by the headlines, we seem to be edging closer towards a trade deal between the US and China. So both sides now agreeing to roll back tariffs. Markets are pushing to new highs. Are you seeing any signs we are hitting what people are saying is peak optimism? Is there any support for a further push in the markets?
I think there is a support for the push in the market, especially as we are hearing positive news flow on the de-escalation of trade tensions between US and China. Earlier, there were only expectations that new tariffs will not be implemented, but now I think we might be also looking at rollback of the existing tariffs, which were implemented in September. So at the same time, the central bank policy easing has continued. As you know, Fed has cut three times already in the last few months. ECB has started the QE program, and all the Asian central banks are also cutting interest rates. So I think this combination of de-escalation of trade tensions and policy easing from central bank will push equity markets higher. And that's why we continue to recommend clients and investors to be in equities.
Okay, Suresh, I'm looking at some of the headlines coming out around the economic picture. I'm just going to get help to look at the fundamentals. And of course, today we are looking out for the trade numbers from China, and we are looking out for the trade data to be softer. How much urgency is there for both sides to reach a deal when you look at the impact that the trade wars has had on their economies?
I think there's a strong willingness from both sides to reach to a conclusion and de-escalate the situation, because it has not only hurt the Chinese economy, it has also started to hurt the U.S. economy and the prospects of U.S. election, especially with President Donald Trump. And you can see that in the recent election, which was conducted in U.S., where Democrats were able to seize power from Republicans. So going into election, I think it's quite likely that President Trump would like to have a trade deal, at least an interim deal, which helps him to get voters on his side going into election. So that is going to play a big part, I think, in the de-escalation of a trade situation.
We are chatting with Suresh Tantia. He is the Senior Investment Strategist at Credit Suisse. Suresh, we are looking at quite a risk-on mood this morning, and that seems to be partly helping oil prices. And right now, I'm looking at it up by nearly 1%, WTI at around $57. For the past month, it's managed to rise about 8%. So there's also some talk about the Aramco IPO, and of course the upcoming OPEC Plus meeting. Now they are saying we might see supply cuts. What's your take on where oil prices are going? Right now we are looking at it at 57.
Yeah, I think the positive sentiments around the trade tensions and also rebound in the global economy is supporting the oil prices at the moment. But I have to share with you that fundamentally, the outlook for oil is still very weak because the inventory levels are high. We recently got the inventory report from Department of Energy in US, and the stock levels for oil are running well above the average level that we have seen. At the same time, the shale production in US is expected to ramp up over the next few quarters, and they're going to take market share from OPEC Plus members. So the supply situation does not look good, and that's why we are more cautious on oil at this point of time.
Okay, so the December OPEC Plus meeting will be interesting because, of course, there is this Aramco IPO that is supposed to see some help from higher oil prices for its valuation. So something to look out for on that front. Suresh, looking at what you are liking in terms of market exposure, one of the markets is actually India. And that's despite falling currency strength and the economy slowing down. What's happening for India for you?
I still like the Indian equity market. It's at pre-election high or pretty much close to the all-time high. What's working for India at the moment is the policy easing, both on the monetary side and also on the fiscal side. On the monetary side, we have seen Reserve Bank of India cutting interest rates because they have a lot of room, especially as inflation is under control. And we think they are going to further cut interest rates. Mm. On the fiscal side, the government has recently announced corporate tax cuts, which will help Mr. Modi's Make in India campaign. And just a couple of days ago, they have also announced a package for the property market. So yes, the economic environment or growth at the moment is weak, but it's the policy easing from the government and the central bank, which is likely to support the equity market in the coming months. Mm,
so more tax cuts and maybe more rate cuts to help the stock markets. Suresh, looking elsewhere, where are you looking in terms of, you know, opportunities? How much is there for China for you?
I think we started to warm up to China market because of the de-escalation of trade situation. If we do indeed get a trade deal in the next couple of months, which includes rollback of existing tariffs in September, I think we could see a substantial rally in Chinese equity market. Fundamentally, also, China has started to look better, especially the macro data last couple of months have stabilized. If you look at the leading indicators, for example, new order index, it's a seven-year high. Mm. So that suggests that we might be at a trough in the economic momentum for China. So at this point, I would say broadly Asian markets and China market has started to look more interesting.
Okay. Hey, Suresh, just to wrap things up, you know, there's so much difficulty right now looking for a place to get fixed income, stable yields because of the low interest rates. What are you advising your clients and investors to go to in terms of getting that regular, stable, you know, safe income?
Yeah, I think it's become very difficult to find value in fixed income because yields are at low level and central banks are raising policies. One place where we can still find value is in Asia high yield. And that includes China high yield as well. Hmm. These bonds pay 7 to 8% return in US dollar terms. And we think there's a good value in those bonds. There's a strong policy support from China. They have also recently curtailed or limited the refinancing of the bonds, which I think will reduce the supply, will help to help in recovery in the bond prices. Okay. So within fixed income, I think that's the one alternative investors can look at.
All right, China high yield bonds, an alternative for fixed income. We've been chatting with Suresh Tantia. He is the senior investment strategist at Credit Suisse. Suresh, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great weekend in advance.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.